Good morning. This is already a good morning for me because we sang two of my favorite songs that have been written in the last 200 years. God be merciful to me and blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I absolutely love those songs. I think it might just have something to do with the fact that I can actually sing them. They happen to be in my key. As Matt said this morning, I'm going to speak about fear and why fear. May seem like an odd topic, but I hope that as we go through it this morning, it will really touch your heart and touch your spirit and really walk away with not only a word from the Lord, but something that will impact your life for the better. Let's open in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the safe gathering of your saints. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would bend our hearts and our minds towards you as we take a look at your word this morning. We just ask that we would learn a little bit more about you and your character and our relationship with you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear. We all have fears. As a show of hands, has anybody ever jumped out of a plane? One, two. Good. Is anybody, was it in the military or of your own free will? One in the military, one not? Okay. I would never jump out of the plane. The only instance I can foresee ever jumping out of a plane is with somebody's boot in my back. And I'm not signing up anytime soon. What about speed? Who's ever driven in a car, you know, any vehicle, wheeled vehicle, not an airplane, faster than 100 miles an hour? Wow! Okay, keep them up. 120. 150. I don't know if I want to go any higher. John, how fast? 165. 164. 157. Okay. I know people who will not use the expressway. People who drive all around town and will not use the expressway.
Because of these other people.
Probably. Yeah. How true, how true. I know people who won't fly. They will drive. People who drive to California because they refuse to fly. And they're deathly afraid of flying. People who are deathly afraid of getting in a car accident. I think we all have our fears. And I think that's one interesting thing about fear in general is that it is a universal human experience. And it's not the same for everybody, but it manifests itself the same in everybody. Does that make sense? We're not all afraid of the same things, but when we experience fear, the same chemical reactions, the same draining of blood from the face, the clammy palms, the racing heart, we experience it all the same. And so I think that is what is going to allow us to come together on this topic this morning. One question I want to ask this morning is, when does fear stop being a beneficial response to a real danger and become a sin. Because it is a sin. It's also a beneficial response to a very real danger. God designed us with a fight or flight instinct. He designed our bodies to perceive danger and to respond to that danger. And I think that the primary example or the definition of that is fear becomes a sin when it stops us from obeying God. And fear is a big issue in our lives. The Bible mentions fear about 575 times. 366 of those times, the command is to fear not. And it's very interesting. I was first turned on to this topic because in our Wednesday night Bible study, the one that meets downstairs in the fireside room that provides childcare, very important, we're covering a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat by John Ortberg. And I was introduced to this idea of what a paralyzing effect fear has on our lives. And it really intrigued me. And I started to look at my Bible and look at the Strong's and I'd never realized how many times the Bible mentions fear. And how many characters in the Bible experience fear. It's astounding. And I've long thought that mankind's number one sin against God was pride. It was Lucifer's sin against God before the creation of the world. And after looking at the topic of fear, I have really begun to modify that opinion, because I think that fear is such a wide-ranging and universal sin that it may in part be related to our pride, but is certainly just as much of a hindrance to us obeying God as pride. Pride says, "No, God, I don't need your help. I want to do it myself." Fear says, "No, God, I don't want to do that because I can't predict the consequences. I'm afraid of the consequences." And the fear that we experience in our lives in this day and age is not certainly the fight or flight response that you would think of living in a different time where dangers are more present. But we certainly have use for the fight or flight response. What ails us in this day and age is worry over finances, worry over job security, worry and fear over how am I going to pay the bills, am I going to be able to retire, am I going to be able to retire and eat? I mean, those are very real concerns. Other things that we experience, you know, fear that paralyzes us. You know, if I loose the reins on my children, are they going to embarrass me? If I loose the reins on my children, are they going to be safe? You know, these are very real concerns that strike deep in our hearts. And fortunately, God has a lot to say about fear. Start thinking now about what is your number one fear. Not fear of flying, fear of heights, but the number one fear in your life that that paralyzes you or has a negative impact on your life. The number one fear in your life that stops you from acting that stops you from pursuing a certain course? Start thinking about that, because it'll come up later. Let's take a look at the word fear itself. Andy Lowe spoke last week. He didn't know that he was introducing this topic for me, but he spoke about his experience with a kidney replacement and doctors and not liking doctors. And he mentioned the experience of fear before an impending procedure. And he described it as a time when you cannot see the future, a sinking feeling, an uncertainty, and a pain that would not stop. And that kind of fear, that paralyzing fear, is different than a nagging worry. That kind of fear, I think, is really scary. And, so many of us want to say, especially guys, not afraid. Not afraid of anything. And the truth is it's something for all of us. I went through an old journal that I had and pulled out my personal description of fear from several years ago. I had written that fear for me is the unknown. I see it as darkness, complete and utter blackness, where no road to the future leads anywhere. Any course of action is a door to a black abyss, and all possible futures are dark, black, and unknown. And for me, that's a very real definition of a paralyzing fear. And my response to that kind of fear is not to, jump out of the airplane, door. My response is to curl up in a ball on the floor and just wish it would all go away. And, as we'll see, what you do with your fear to a great extent determines the course of your life and your relationship with Christ. I'm getting over it, by the way. There's three words in the Greek and three words in the Hebrew that the Bible uses to describe fear. Because some of the mentioning of fear in the Bible is fear the Lord thy God. And so obviously, is that the same as, and the Amalekites ran in fear from the Israelites because the Lord was, raining fire down on them? It's not the same, and it's not the same word. The three words are translated as cowardice, dread, and reverent awe. Now, reverent awe is obviously what's described as the fear of God. And sometimes it's translated as such. This is reverent awe of God, fear of the Lord. Cowardice is also used in the Bible, mostly in reference to fleeing enemies or someone who is in the act of being disobedient to a command from God. Dread, the word that's translated as dread, is the most common use in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And again, God's command in Scripture is, dread not, because I am with you. Or he says to the Israelites, this is after the Ten Commandments. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning." That's an interesting passage. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Fear is used twice in the same sentence, and it's two different ideas. He was saying, do not be afraid of the outcome. Do not be afraid of anyone else. Respect me, and I will protect you, is how that's translated. Okay, pull out one of the little sheets that we have in the back of the pew, and a pencil or a pen if you've got one. I want you to write down today's date at the top. And I want you to write down a number 1. And I want you to write down what the fear, your number 1 fear is. You don't have to show your neighbor. This is for you. But it's important that you write it down. I'm not going to have you, you know, put a match to it at the end of the service or anything like that. But I want you to put it down in writing. It's the first part of, you know, of coming to grips with it and admitting that there is a fear. Let's look at some examples in the Bible of people that feared. You probably know a lot of them. The Israelites are some of the greatest examples of fear that we have. I'm careful not to speak too harshly against the Israelites because I know I'm the same animal. I know that in those circumstances, I would do exactly the same thing. If I was wandering around the desert for 40 years and I was tired and hungry, I would cry out, oh my gosh, wish I was in Egypt where we sat around pots of meat, which really didn't happen. But, you know, the belief that things were better off in Egypt for the Israelites was very tempting. So the Israelites, even on the Exodus, they're being led, you know, to freedom, and they hit the Red Sea. They hit the Red Sea, and they cry out to Moses. You know, we would have been better off in Egypt. And what does Moses say to him? He says, don't be afraid. And God takes care of them. Then they come to the edge of the Promised Land. God leads them to the Jordan. And they send out 12 spies. And the 12 spies come back, and 10 of them say, there's giants in the land. There's no way we'll ever take this land. Only 2 of them said, you know, trust in the Lord. And who did the assembly believe? All the Israelites. They believed the 10. Fear can be contagious sometimes. And they were punished. They were punished for that. What about Esther? Was Esther afraid to obey God? She had the opportunity to go before the king and plead for the plight of her people. But the very act of stepping before the king could have been a death sentence. That's a very, very real fear. What about King David? Before he was king, when he was on the run from Saul, King David, this great man of God, found himself hiding in a cave, hiding from Saul, hiding from his troops, on the run for his life, in despair, having lost all his belongings and his status. He was alone in a cave. And then what about the character in Christ's servant of the parable of the talents? You have Christ tells the story of a rich ruler or a rich man who goes away on a trip, and he gives his wealth to three different servants. He gives to one servant, he gives five, to one he gives two, and to one servant he gives one. And the one servant I'll tell the story. The servant who receives the five talents goes out and invests and makes five more. The servant who receives two goes out and invests and makes two more. And the servant who received one buried isn't in the ground. And when the master returns, he says, you know, I've come to collect what I gave you. You know, where is it? And the servant's response is, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and I was afraid, so I buried it in the ground. I was afraid, so I buried it in the ground. And how many of us are like that servant who, instead of taking what God has given us and stepping out and doing something great out of fear for unintended consequences, fear of the repercussions, fear of the pain, we bury our talent in the ground. God's command concerning fear is usually one of two things. He either says, be still and know that I am God, or he says, go, step out in faith. And there's examples of both in Scripture. Let's open up the Bible, our Bibles, to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses starting in 13. Let me set this up for you. The Israelites are on the run. They are at the Red Sea. The Egyptians, the whole Egyptian army is coming down on them, and they are backed up against the sea. Some, you know, 2 to 5 million Israelites, relatively unarmed, with all of their houses, you know, their family possessions, their children, their animals, everything they could carry, and the Egyptian army is bearing down on them. And they complain. And in 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. How hard is that for us? Be still and know that I am God. Don't do anything. Don't worry about it. This fight is not for you. You cannot fight this fight. This one's mine, God says. Is that tough for us to do sometimes? How do you just trust God that he will do just what he says? The other scripture I want to look at is Exodus chapter 4. Back up a bit. Exodus chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. This is Moses, God talking to Moses on the mountain before he goes into Egypt. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered God, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So he reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. He was so afraid of the snake that he ran from it, which is understandable. I think I would do the same thing. God didn't warn him what he was going to do. He said, "What's that in your hand?" "A staff." "Throw it on the ground." And it becomes a snake. If it was a 6-foot staff, was it a 6-foot snake? Probably. So he runs, and God says, "Go pick it up." Not just pick it up by the tail. What's the one thing you don't do with snakes? You don't pick them up by the tail, because they've got all kinds of room to turn around and bite you. Moses knew this. He lived in the desert. But he does it. That's the interesting thing. That's what really sends me about Moses. Moses is the guy who, when God came to him and said, "I want you to go talk to Pharaoh," he said, "Send Aaron." This is the same. So here we see Moses on a road, on a progression, on a journey here. And he picks the snake up by the tail. And God is faithful and just, and the snake doesn't bite him. But what has Moses learned? Trust. Moses has learned that when God gives a command, when God says go, or God says do, God is faithful and just to hold up his end of the deal. And Moses, I mean, we know what Moses becomes. I mean, this great leader of the Israelite nation. Here we see Moses in his spiritual infancy. He's at the precipice, that point at which he just wants to curl up into a ball and let the world fall away. But he has just a little sliver of trust, of hope, and of faith. And when he steps through that barrier, when he responds to God and steps through that barrier, all of a sudden, he's grown, and his circle of trust, of influence, is just a little bit bigger. And God continues to meet Moses at the point of his fears. And he continues to push Moses right to the edge and says, "Jump." And every time, most every time, Moses does it, and he grows. And the same is true for us, that God meets us at the point of our fears. It's not, God doesn't meet us, God doesn't ask us to grow in areas that are easy for us. I wish he did. God meets us at places where we are afraid to act, afraid to trust, unsure of the consequences, and unsure of the outcomes. And God says, "Right here, this is where you're afraid. Trust me. Trust me to provide for your needs. Trust me to feed you and clothe you and provide shelter. Trust me to take care of the other person that you want to speak to about Christ. All you have to do is speak. I'll take care of their heart condition. God says, trust me to keep your kids safe. It's back to the papers. You've got the date and your fear. I'd like you to write down one thing that you can do, no matter how small, to either A, address that fear and meet it, or B, a prayer that you can pray to hand that over to God. Because, like I said, there's two options. The command is be still and know that I am God, or step out in faith. And I don't know what your fear is, and I don't know what God's command for your fear is. God's command could be still. I'm not going to tell you to go if God's command is be still and know that I am God. But whatever your fear is, what is God telling you to do? Is God telling you to just trust me? I've got this one. Or is he telling you, you need to step. You need to grab that snake by the tail and trust me that he's not going to bite you. It's a very, very important distinction. But either way, you see, it involves trust. Either you're trusting God to take care of it for you. And that is really one of the things that makes our life here on this planet a crucible, a place for us to grow. And that is why there is no easy road, there is no skating through. In 1 Peter, he talks about perfection through suffering. Made perfect through suffering. And part of our journey and part of our relationship with Christ is growing in faith, growing in trust, and in a very real sense, stepping out on promise from God and turning our fears and our concerns and our problems over to Him. Let's close in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the life that you have given us. We thank you for your finished work on the cross. Lord, we thank you that you have fought our battles for us. Lord Jesus, we just ask that, not that we would have more faith, Lord, because you've made it clear that more faith is not what we need. But Lord, we ask that we would trust you to do exactly what you've said, is we would trust you to fight our battles for us, and that we would trust you to hold us up when we step off the edge into an unknown future where you have said to go. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would bless us as we part ways and keep us safe on these roads, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.